If you think you can't go from politics to the divine, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, good evening. I'm Carol Gold. I'm here at Above the Fray. The number is 914-803-4522. And of course, I have with me my co-host, Steve Clark. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
So much to talk about on this topic of Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner. You'll have to forgive me. I tend to call him Bruce, and I tend to use the pronoun he. It's just sort of where I'm coming from. But hopefully, as the show unfolds, you'll understand kind of where we're both coming. Not kind of. You'll understand where we're both coming from. It's a show I think is about to be very thought-provoking. I titled the show Transgender, Transabled, and Transspecies for the following reason. Obviously, Bruce Jenner brought to the forefront of media throughout the country and, for all I know, throughout the world this week with his coming out as Caitlyn Jenner, or last week. The transabled and the transspecies is a little trickier, I think. It's all probably tricky, but I happen to be reading an article. There is a, what I want to put in quotes, legitimate condition called people who are transabled. Transabled people are people who are in perfectly healthy bodies, but have a consciousness or a thought that they're in fact disabled. And so they do things to physically disable themselves to match this consciousness that they have. Anything from using crutches to sitting in a wheelchair to surgically having a limb removed. It's actually being discussed as a psychological state of being in Canada, and there are simply people both in Canada and the United States, and for all I know elsewhere, who have this mindset. Transspecies is a term referring to people who believe that they are an animal soul in a human body. And the example, or I first heard of it this week when a young man called in a radio station and he explained that he had become, I'm going to make this really short, he had become addicted to a game, I think, called Ultimate Frisbee, where the height of the game is that you, when you catch the Frisbee, you can't run. You can only run it's a video game. You can only run when you don't have the Frisbee. When you catch the Frisbee, the only motion the game will allow you to take is to throw the Frisbee. And he became completely frustrated to the point of enraged when he would catch the Frisbee and couldn't move. So he went into therapy because he had recently broken up a relationship. A woman had broken up with him. He was very depressed, which is why he got hooked on the game. And with the doctor's assistance, he came to realize that the reason he was so angry and frustrated with the game when he caught the Frisbee and couldn't run with it was because he's actually a dog in a human body. At the time that I heard him on air, I was in my car, and I laughed so loud and hard that I had tears coming down my face because it was a 10-minute explanation of this whole experience that he had until the moment when he realized that he was, in fact, a dog in a human's body. And, of course, his frustration is that he can't chase his Frisbee, right? Because that's what dogs do. So I want to get to all of this because I have what I believe to be a rather unique take on all of this, and I actually think I might be more on point than anything else you've heard, but I want to start with asking you to share with our listeners your thoughts on Bruce Jenner, because I know you've written a piece that will later today be posted to our blog, AboveTheFrayPodcast.com, which I highly recommend people read. It's an outstanding piece. Steve, share some of that with our listeners, will you?
Yeah, sure. You know, it dawned on me, there was a book that came out a couple years ago, and the story or the book is about a guy who loses his business, loses all his money, and becomes so violently ill over the experience. He ends up in bed, and to the point where really he's just suffering mental and physical exhaustion, and he can't get out of bed. And, you know, he really thinks he's on his last throes, maybe even his death throes. He doesn't know what to do. And the title of the book is Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. And so what happens is he just comes up with a mantra of saying, I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And he just repeats it over and over and over again because he thinks that will save his life. And sure enough, it does. He's slowly able to rebuild his life saying this mantra over and over and over again. And there was a few things that I thought were fascinating about the story was just that it's one of those things that I think that we all suffer from, that he touched a nerve in the story that we all go through life where we have issues of whether we think we're worthy or not, whether we think we're credible or not, whether when we go through a failure or a problem, will people still love us? Will people accept us? And I think it's a natural human emotion. And he actually touched on that in a very profound way, to the point where he actually spoke at the Pentagon. He spoke with the CEOs. He spoke with political leaders. He got the whole broad spectrum of people interested in his story because he touched on a human emotion that we all feel is are we lovable? Will people love us or accept us for who we are? And I think when I look at the Bruce Jenner story is that, you know, here's a guy that just doesn't love himself, that doesn't, for whatever reason, he's put this notion in his head that he's a woman or he thinks like he's a woman. But the reality is he'll never be a woman the same way I'll never be a black person from the country of Sweden. I'm Steve Clark. I'm a person that was, I'm a white person with an Ecuadorian mother and an Oklahoman father. That's who I am. It's something that's unchangeable. I'm a man. And for whatever reason, Bruce Jenner is kind of rejecting all the notions of who he is as a human being and trying to forge a new identity. And I think that's where I think is the most troubling aspect is that before in the past, we would look at people like this with compassion and we would try to get them back on track and try to get to the root of the problem, as opposed to what our society deems as acceptable today is to actually go through with a procedure where you take the drugs, where you take the hormones, where you do all these crazy things to your body to kind of fit this identity or this bad identity or this misidentity that you have and try to create your physical appearance from this misidentity. And I think that's what the real interesting part of the story is. What say you, Carol?
Well, Steve, you touch on a couple of things, so let me address them one at a time. First of all, you say that he healed himself with love, the author that you're talking about who wrote the book Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends Upon It. When he says in that book he healed himself by saying, I love myself, I've been doing healings for at least a decade on people. I heal. I have the ability to act as a conductor to what we call light or love energy that comes through me and into another person. I have had successes. I had clients who've returned. I had someone on their deathbed in a hospital that was given a weekend to live and no more. His wife went to pick out the casket. And he recovered. I worked on him for 8 straight days. What the point I want to make about that is, without going into how I came to do that, to even think I had that capacity or ability, is that all I do when I heal is I don't really do the healing. I show up and I open my heart to that person's heart. That's what I do. I open my heart to their heart, and that's all I do. And then I ask that light, love energy be used, that I be used to transmit light or love energy into that person. Somehow that works. That's what that author did when he healed himself by saying, I love myself. So there is something very true or there's simply something true. There's no such thing as very true. There's something true about love being able to heal. Now, that's the first point that you make. The second point that I want to address is the happiness that Bruce Jenner is seeking. Statistically, people who go through transgender surgeries and people who attempt to change their sexual reality, the statistics show that as they grow older, they have problems with depression. As a group, the statistics are very high for depression. The statistics are also very high for confusion and attempted suicide. So there's something that, you know, it's like anything else physical. I had some plastic surgery done a few years ago. I'm a woman. I'm vain. I had plastic surgery done. Initially, you feel buoyed, buoyant, great. You feel youthful again. In a year or two, that feeling leaves. Even if you still look improved, shall we say, even if I do look younger, I lose the feeling because the feeling is based on an external, superficial, false reality. What I need to do and everyone else needs to do who is unhappy with their exterior is truly love that exterior and accept it, because that feeling doesn't go away, because that feeling isn't contingent upon what the outside looks like. The third point, and this is the biggest point of all, because this is actually, I believe, an explanation for transgender, for transabled, for transspecies, for those that we're talking about now, people who believe they have an animal soul in their body, people who believe that they're disabled even if they have a fully abled body, men who think they're women, women who think they're men. Stay with me on this for a minute. You know, we all know we're living in extraordinary times, and we all know that we are watching things evolve and transform around us literally. Systems that have worked forever have broken down. People don't know which way to go, what to do. Economists can't tell you where to put your money. There's all kinds of new ways to heal. We're living through an extraordinary transitionary time. So too for human consciousness, or it wouldn't be happening around us as well. The most important thing, that if I could communicate this on a grand scale, it would be this. We know there's no such thing as time. It's a human construct to understand distance. There's no such thing as time. People who are awakening in their consciousness, meaning people who have evolved past the limited consciousness we used to have, and there are those of us all over the planet who are awakening to different degrees, awakening to our ideas about philosophy, about religion, about governance, about all sorts of things. Our consciousness is expanding because we are awakening. We are coming out of a sleep is the best way to describe it, and we are expanding our understanding of all that is. These people are not dogs in their human body this time. Men aren't in women's bodies because they're really women trapped in men's bodies. Disabled consciousness isn't actually disabled in the moment in this abled body. These are memories. These are re-experiencing what we call past lives or holographic experiences. People are awakening to memory where there is no such thing as time. Maybe he was a dog, but not in this life, in this body. Maybe he's remembering being beaten. Maybe he's remembering being caged. We call it deja vu. We call it past lives. We call it reincarnation. We talk about in the movie The Matrix, it's all a hologram. Things are happening simultaneously elsewhere. Whatever the explanation is, we have the ability to understand and periodically experience more than our 3D physical reality. And so what's happening is that these people are awakening to this awareness, they're awakening to this expanded consciousness, and they are misinterpreting because they are only partially aware, and they have only partially been enlightened, they are misinterpreting what they're experiencing. And because they're seeing it like a snapshot, they're getting the dog and they're getting the human. They're getting the male and they're getting the female. They're getting the disability and they're getting the able body. They are melding them as if it's all happening now in real time. And I think the thing we could most do for others is to help people understand that this is a transitory process, and not to act immediately, not to have to self-gratify and self-satisfy and self-indulge and give yourself in the moment every thought you have and act upon it, a little prudence, a little patience, a little allowing for this to unfold, because he's not a dog in a person's body, and like I said, it's not a man in a woman's body or vice versa, and it's not a disabled consciousness in a perfectly abled body. You know, there's a reason. I don't often go to religion, Steve, but there's a reason why it says we are created in the image and likeness of God. There's a reason for that. Forget the words literally. Forget that whether you believe in a single God up there who created it all or whatever. It's trying to convey a message about creation. And creation, it doesn't make mistakes. Now, you can talk about people who are handicapped. You can talk about mutations. Those are not mistakes. They are evolutionary occurrences that are happening as part of a greater whole. The other point I want to make about this, Steve, is that everything is separated, everything is fragmented, and everything is whole at the same time. It's a matter of perception. So do you want to perceive the separation and the fragmentation, or do you want to perceive the wholeness? It takes more maturity, more patience, more conscious awareness to allow yourself to move toward wholeness than it does to, in the moment, experience the separation and the fragmentation. So, for example, we all think we're separate from one another, but we know we're not. We're all connected. We're connected through consciousness. We're connected through unspoken word. We're connected like branches on a tree are connected to a trunk. And that's why the expression, when a butterfly flaps its wings in Austin, Texas, wind patterns change in Osaka, Japan, because eventually that's a true statement, because everything's connected. And those butterfly wings begin to generate a cyclical occurrence in wind patterns that you may not be in Osaka when the wind patterns change, and you may not take the ride from Austin on those wave patterns that the butterfly's wings began to generate. But inevitably, we are a complex adaptive system. We all interact with one another. Humanity is a complex adaptive system. And what science has proven about complex adaptive systems is that when you change one thing in one part of the system, it reverberates everywhere else in the system. And you will eventually have to, and inevitably have to, adjust the system somewhere else because of the prior adjustment. That's why the old model of a manager fixing a company doesn't work. You don't one person come in, they make a fix, and now the company's perfect. You make a fix, and another department needs to be adjusted because of that fix. And that's what complex science is. Complexity science is understanding adaptation and change. We are there. We are in the middle of an adaptive change, and people are taking it too literally in the moment because we are self-indulgent. We are And by the way, government and even the psychological sciences and the social sciences have supported us in this self-indulgence, in thinking that it's all about us as individuals. It is about us in terms of creativity. We all can make a difference in the world like that butterfly. But that's our individual contribution. We're not the be-all and end-all. We're not the whole puzzle. We're only a piece of the puzzle. And what Bruce Jenner And I, you know, I don't even think he's the best example. I think that Chastity Bono is the better example, who became Chaz Bono. Because Chastity Bono became Chaz Bono without the fanfare, without the reality show, without the multi-million dollar contracts, and without the cover of Vanity Fair. And even Cher, his mother, who seemed moderately uncomfortable, handled it with grace and dignity and supported her child in their choice. I'm not addressing the hormonal aspects of Chastity Bono or Chaz Bono or Bruce Jenner. I'm addressing the way it was handled, and I find it infinitely more respectable and credible to deal with what the Bono, with what Cher and Chastity and Chaz Bono did. Bruce Jenner's in this for the fame, the ego, the money, or else he would have done it quietly and said to the press, you know what? Leave me alone. I was famous when I was young, and then I made another mistake, and I did a reality show with the Kardashians. I'm done. I want to be who I really am. But he doesn't. His ego wants him to be rich and famous even more than he already has been. And that's the problem with this, and the real shame of this, Steve, and I'm going to give it back to you in a second. I know I went long, but I feel really, really powerful in it about this, and really, I want to say certain about this. As certain as I can be, being human and fallible. I just lost my train of thought. Steve, what was I just saying?
You want to be human and fallible in this last statement you make.
No, there was something before that. And if it doesn't come back to me in the instant, I will turn it over to you. I guess I thought I was making a point about the way Bruce Jenner did it and the egoic nature of, oh, I know what it was. Here it is. So what do? We put them everywhere, and we want to give them awards and medals for courage. What is wrong with us? We carry the same symptom that he's manifesting, which is this narrow-minded self-indulgence, so that we've lost distinctions that matter. Honor is not mutilating your body and then turning yourself into a Barbie doll and marketing yourself like a Barbie doll. It's neither courage nor honor. It's ego and vanity and greed and lust. What's courageous are soldiers who go into the army and because their country asks them, and then when someone needs a bone donor, because they're a match and they're in the middle of a war, they give part of their hip bone in the middle of a war to help another soldier. That's courage. That's honor. What is wrong with us that we have made Bruce Jenner into something admirable and something that we would like other young people to emulate? I don't think so. Steve?
Yeah, the last point that I wanted to touch on that hasn't been addressed is that there's been a movement for years of, especially in the feminist movement, of what we define a woman as. And, you know, clearly the notion of objectifying women and looking at them as
pure. No, Steve, wait a minute. No. Where do you stand on what I just said? Did it sound crazy to you, or did it possibly have anything that resembled truthfulness or possibility to you? What I said about people awakening and misperceiving what they're actually experiencing.
You know, it's hard for me to comment on that because the point that I would address there is that we've lost, I think on a different sense, we've lost our connection to reality. Is really what I think has happened, which is a little bit different than what you're saying. So we're no longer able to see things as they are. We're only able to see kind of the perverted view of things. And so what passes in a strange or abnormal or different to society years ago, it just doesn't pass the muster anymore. People just have a very distorted view of things. And I don't know if it's myself getting older now and having lost touch with a little bit of society, that they just have it seems like everybody has a really different view of looking at things. And again, I don't know if it's an age thing, and I don't know if society has just completely spiraled out of control, and I'm the one that hasn't changed. But what I do believe, what I personally do believe, is that people have lost their connection to seeing things as they are. We have become disconnected, and it stems from a variety of different things, from education, from the media, from all these things that we've been programmed for so many years. And the generation, the really young generation, no longer really has the ability to see, in my opinion, the truth anymore. So you get a story like Bruce Jenner, and it just populates everywhere, and everybody follows the same mode of thought. That's kind of where I'm at on that issue. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And in fact, in a strange way, I think you fortified the point I made, because what you said is that you believe people have lost connection to the point where they can no longer see reality as it is. And the point I'm making is they are seeing more than one reality. There is more than one reality. I mean, any quantum physicist will tell you that. There's a reality that we can see. There's 3D reality, but there's other realities. And so when you say they've lost connection, I believe you're right. What people have lost is connection to the reality as we've known it and as we've experienced it. And I think we are going through a transition where reality is actually going to shift. And I'm not saying it's going to shift to where men become women and women become men. I'm saying it's going to go, we're kind of like in that in-between stage where we haven't totally let go of the way we used to see things, and we aren't yet skilled enough in how we are going to see things, and we're caught in this logjam where we're seeing a little of both, and the little of both is causing incredible confusion. Hopefully, leaders will evolve, will emerge, with not political, then social. Leaders will emerge who can shepherd, in a way, can shepherd us through. And guess what? Maybe that's why Jesus showed up then. Maybe he was shepherding them through a reality, because from what I can perceive, there was no concept of love before Jesus showed up, in the sense that the women were objectified, they were chattel, children were chattel. Men didn't love women, they used them as sex objects. There wasn't love. And maybe that's what a shepherd does. It shows up and gets us through transitory phases where humanity loses its way temporarily, because our ability to perceive, understand, know, and retain that knowledge and turn it into wisdom is temporarily hampered by the very nature of the transitory process itself. I know I ate up a lot of your time, and I'm going to owe you on the next show. I promise not
to. I think we're about to close here, Carol, because I think we're running out of time here.
Yeah, we are. And so I'm aware of that. And that's why I said I ate up a lot of your time, and I don't have any left to turn over to you, Steve. But it's probably a conversation worth continuing to have. So I think tonight's show was really fabulous and, as I said in all my modesty, and thought-provoking. So spread the word. Tell people to listen to tonight's show, and then come back again to Above the Fray podcast Monday and Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, and I'm on Inspirational Gold on Tuesday evening, 6:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Court.
And thanks for listening to Above the Fray podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.